Blog Talk Radio.
The following is appropriate for all audiences, so please, everybody, get involved. Hi, I'm Dude Talk, and you're listening to I Can't Find You, But We Find Ourselves. And it is 10 o'clock on the dot. The show is brought to you by Organic OK. Now, in case you missed our last episode, you got some explaining to do. You got some attitude. But you should personally know, no, I haven't kind of dropping the ball and I haven't been here so consistently. But you know what? Let me make that up to you all right now. It's like this. You should know about this far. I'm a disabled person. I've been disabled my whole life. I've been disabled in multiple ways. I haven't just had one affliction, and it's kept me from reaching for that brass ring that I've always wanted. I lack decent genetic material. I got to tell you, man, I spent so much of my life really honestly trying to overcome, trying to basically find if I could just find a way to just do my my indulgences and leave the rest of the world alone. Now, I know Vincent Price said a man who limits his interest limits his life. But I thought if I could just focus on these little, you know, whatever, little corner right here, everything else will be just fine. But you know what? Oh, boy. It's like this. I have dental problems. Yeah, my teeth. I used to have perfect teeth, ideally, whatever. But then I started wanting to brush my teeth regularly with baking soda before I found out that just doing that strenuously scrapes away the enamel. And I didn't like the taste of it, and I stopped doing it, and I was neglecting brushing my teeth, especially while I was drinking soda. One of my best features was my ideal teeth. I had a nice smile, and now I cocked it up. I'm doing a lot more dental care recently, like really, really going all out. One of the reasons I had TMJ around my teeth so much is because of the Tourette's, the ADHD. But here's the problema. Are you listening? I didn't get a mouth guard when I should have. I got the expensive kind, went right through, chewed right through it, which is just demolish it. Then I got a bunch of the cheap kind, thought I'm using for the rest of my life, and I keep neglecting. I think it might be too late for me. Sometimes I think I just screwed up my own life, and you know what? My mother was originally from a very small one-horse town. I thought about going back to that myself for no other reason than I was just the lost cause. It's just time to basically become part of the quiet little community. Not meant to be a big fish in the ocean. But then this whole comedy thing came up. Well, that's that. I basically spent a lot of my time, you know, I could have a lot of friends. Even when I was a little kid, I did. But somehow, whenever I got the Tourette's and the ADHD, it would alienate people. It's cute when you're a little kid, but when you're of a certain age and you're always talking out loud and pacing around, whatever, it just looks weird. And it's always been bad for me. I tell you, it was worse when I was a kid. I wasn't properly medicated. And dang it all, it's worse. I mean, it gets a little less severe when you're older, but somehow the older you get, the more noticeable it gets. I tried chewing gum. I tried squeezing grips. No cure. But as my ex once told me, yes, I was seeing somebody. I had a relationship. Even the blind squirrel has to eventually find the nut. I got to tell you something. I was always hearing bad condition. You can't cure it. All you can do is manage it. So somebody else once said, not to me directly, but once again, social media. That's the thing about social media. I wish I was raised on social media like so many others. I know we were all basically complained about basically being plugged into the system and our phones and Googling and internet and whatever, but I got to tell you something. I mean this. I think social media has done more good than almost anything else invented by humans. One problem with it is that I have to say, I have to admit this, I mean this. Guess what? It literally, truly, honestly, look, it's like in the industrial age when they started inventing machines to do things that just people would do. Somebody said, why have machines do things just people would do? That'll just put more people out of work. And it did. So people had to step up their game, and you know what? It's only got worse and worse and worse, and now it's at an all-time high. That's the one problem with technology. don't make room for people anymore. People are cast adrift. Now, Organic OK once said to me, dude, you should have fun with all this, okay? That's the key. Just have fun. Be you. Just have fun. He's right. Look, I tried being one of the little people. It doesn't work. Horrible messed up conditions are going to keep me from holding down a job, and there aren't any out there anymore. Please give to this cause. Do this, because you know what? This is the only thing I can do. Give to me. Charity. This is charity. I've always wondered basically what should happen to all the handicapped people in the world. Saw some autistic people who are getting by doing little things and personally and whatever. I hung out with a whole crowd of handicapped people, other autistic people. They mentioned a problem with me because of my condition. I think one of them gave up on me because it's always been like that. We have a problem with this guy. He's Tourette-ing too much. He's too hyperactive. And that's the way it was. But a lot of it had to do with the fact that the ties that bind were cut. People went their separate ways. I don't know. Sometimes I'm not sure what to do. Every day I try to tell myself, instead of trying to basically live with the affliction, live with it. Live with it. Look around it. As I was told, some problems, they're never going to be cured. You just got to manage it. That made me so calm. That calmed me. It almost sedated me. Just manage it. How do I manage this? Well, let's see. Try to open your mind. Instead of trying to find a nice little pigeonhole for yourself, instead of trying to find a nice autistic thing to only focus on this and do nothing else, it's just such a big success. Why not try to really, really just overcome? Do everything. Try to do more than just be funny. Try to do more than just do art. Try to do more than just sing. I try to do everything. I thought about being one of the poor people, the middle class people. It didn't work. In a way, I'm going to be trying to become one of the rich people. I know, it's a course. But you know, if you look around, those are the only people who are getting by now. Now, me, actually, I'm trying. I try every day. I got another problem. Because of my ADHD and obsession, all my problems, I got insomnia. Bad. Oh, people. I know when we basically all become teenagers, we try to stay up as late as possible, and we basically get up around noon or so. But, you know, it happened to me again because of this stupid condition. One of the biggest problems, I think, of all is that I held all this in. I held in the beast. Honestly. I didn't know how to stop this stupid thing. Hide out most of the time. I try to hide it. Try to hide myself. But chewed gum. I recently found I got to cut down on those nasty stimulants. That's the thing with ADHD. But once again, it's not a cure. Now, what was so confusing is because I got all this different advice. I got so much different, you know, what have you. You know what I'm talking about. Now, there were different people who were basically having a different idea. They thought, you're just retarded. You're just weird. You just have a disease. You just need to sit there and be quiet. And that didn't work. Just need to take your pills. You just need to manage it and cut down on stimulants. And one advice I knew didn't work, even though I wanted to believe it, you're fine just the way you are. Come on, I knew I wasn't. Not only was I not fine, there was nothing fine about me. Everything just seemed wrong. The energy is going to come out in different ways, whether it's bending and cracking my neck, blinking, sniffing, itching, coughing, whistling. The best way to do the ADHD and Tourette's, the best, the most pleasurable, manageable way, the best one is walking and talking. That's what I got with this radio show. Right now, I'm letting all this out right now. I had a horrible migraine today. I was horribly depressed. But you know what? Talking like this is just making it all go away. That's weird, isn't it? I'm not the only person I ever met who had this condition. But for a while, I thought I was. And back then in medical, whatever, I went to a lot of different doctors and quacks who, they all had a different idea. I don't know what to do. I didn't. Now, because of this obscure coronavirus, I've been having to stay inside a lot more, even though it really helped me to go out and, I don't know, just work out, just be. I try to talk to people a lot. I just talked to a high school acquaintance just tonight, right before I did this show. It helped put me in a state of mind. I was in some bad environments, and I know I became bad myself. Thankfully, that's over, but there was a real problem when people didn't know what we were doing back then. And yes, it was the wrong thing to do, but you know what? People didn't know better. Or there weren't enough people around to just, most people were just saying, to hell with it. I said this before and I'll say this again. Back then there was a time, actually there was a time for the longest time, when schools took all the defectives. There were kids who were screwed up, two schools make it into public school. And they had different problems. And someone came up with the moronic idea of putting them all under the same roof. Some were violent psychotics. Some were schizophrenic. Some were slow. Some were handicapped. Maybe they thought it would be funny just to put them all, like a buddy cop picture, like a mismatched sitcom. Boy, it did not work. Wow, did it not work. You know, when I entered third grade, that's when I couldn't make it anymore because of my ADHD, because the Tourette's got so bad. My autism. I even tried to tear out pictures from my math book and tried to take them home with me so I could study and figure out how to do this. What was amazing is some of the kids in the class, I basically went to Oakland, Chinatown, you know. So Asian kids, you can imagine a lot of them were the mathlete type. Not me. That's funny. At a very young age, I was actually really good at math. And then, well, by third grade, when algebra was coming along, I just couldn't do it anymore. Some autistics are really good at math. Took a while to even get that, and you know what? Now I've forgotten it. One of the things I've noticed is that school does teach you stuff. It prepares you for this, it prepares you for that, it prepares you for up, and it prepares you for down. I mean, one of the things that school prepares you for most is what people are like. But one thing that really is funny now, really, is that it got to the point where those who are all the rage in high school, usually more than that, aren't all the rage in real life. Remember the first time I had friends. I had like a real circle of them. We all hung out together. And then some of them stopped talking to me because they told you the Tourette's and the ADHD. There are different ranges of tics. Back then, I couldn't whistle, couldn't snap my fingers. Really, it took me a while to learn all that. And I don't think I ever would have learned if it wasn't for the Tourette's. See? I could whistle. I can do that now, and I can snap it in my fingers, and often do. But I got to tell you something. Back then, I couldn't, and the only tic was blinking, jerking my head around, and talking. They thought I was retarded. They thought I was insane. I didn't think I was, but then again, I didn't know what I was. I know I was constantly a victim. There were times when I wouldn't stay with the rest of the group, with the other kids, because I couldn't take when somebody insulted me. I heard it, and I just obsessed. It was just eating me. Every insult I'd take to heart. But also more than that, I just couldn't, I was so out of it, I couldn't go with the flow and just stop talking. When I sat in my seat in school, I was in agony. Just couldn't stop moving. Oh, yes, they had Ritalin back then. But that falls under the category of a slight cure. Family's always asking me, did you take your meds? Did you take your meds? Did you take your meds? What they don't realize, what they still don't realize, I think, to this day, and I think all of you need to hear this, to everyone who basically, to anybody who basically knows somebody who takes meds, the pills basically dilute you. They don't fix the problem. They don't mask it. They just dope you up a little, you know? It's like those guys who basically think every single woman on her monthly, if she just takes an ibuprofen, a Tylenol or aspirin, everything's hunky-dory. A woman's monthly, this connects to me in a strange way. I was as afraid of that as any other guy. I was grossed out. I was disgusted by it. I didn't want to hear about it as much as any other guy. And I realize how us guys are about this. And you know what? This is how women feel when guys talk about their penises and their sperm, anything gross. They feel when they talk about their periods. And they don't even talk about them in as lurid graphic detail. We talk about some of our stuff. They try to keep, they speak in codes. They keep that stuff veiled, covered, protected from us, which we're all grateful for. But then I realized, I think every time a guy shames a woman for her monthly cycle, or for being a little overweight, for not having the ideal physique, or for just doing something really all too female. It's exactly how I felt when I was persecuted for mumbling and, like, ticking. And that's how basically, that's how they feel. I got kicked out of so many places in my life. I really did. Sometimes I just gave up and decided never to come back. Isn't there a place I can sort of, you know, just stay in isolation for the rest of my life? It doesn't work. I didn't forget my last year of school, the details of third grade. The details. We were finally sitting at, like, you know, it felt in a way like we were all kind of growing up, really, in a lot of ways. I was really especially in the Ninja Turtles and couldn't wait to become a teenager myself. Thought things would be better. We always think things will be better when we get a little older, don't we? Well, sometimes they do, but not like we were thinking, right? No, of course not. Not remotely. You know, it's funny. When we're kids, you know, once the 80s and 90s come around, none of us can, you know, figure out exactly why do people do drugs? And then as soon as we get in junior high school, it all makes perfect sense. All the stress, all the pressure, all the stuff that brought us joy once doesn't anymore. And actually, if we're still interested in the stuff in junior high school, that we're still interested in elementary school, something wrong with us. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Especially when you're an adult, you know? You realize that this is life. I was a candidate. Took doctor-prescribed medication, but I took a little more than the doctor gave me. And like almost everyone else, I started drinking before it was legal. I was just so angry one night, whatever, that... You know what I did? I got myself some beer. I stole it, actually. That's something that needs to go on record here. Now, me personally, I remember when I basically had my first beer. It was a Heineken. I drank only when things got bad. And you know what? It didn't taste good. I think it's one of those things that really you have to, I think it's one of those things that basically you get used to. It's an acquired taste. That and the fact that you drink it because it's a light drink, it gets you drunk. People would drink pig urine if it got them intoxicated. But I learned almost anything can ferment. When I moved on up to basically a slightly harder sort of mixed drink, I was getting smashed for a while. And you know what? Here's the thing. When you start drinking, even the biggest alcoholic knows life isn't all bad as long as he's got the bottle. Somebody asked, what is an alcoholic? That's a pretty obvious answer. An alcoholic is somebody who's just ragingly drunk, like, all the time. Who's always at that bar, who's always drinking. Somebody else told me, an alcoholic is someone who can't control their drinking. Who can't control a lot of things, and especially when they start drinking. They don't know when to say when, until the problem becomes unmanageable. I quit drinking. Yeah, believe me, I miss it. But of course, as always, got myself in some trouble. I didn't want to go to bars because they always mark stuff up. I had a bad experience at a bar so much I swore never to come back. Personally looked at, I don't know. Truth is, I had some bad experiences drinking. I'm kind of a closed-off, nervous, uneasy person, so of course I got overly affectionate when I drank. One person attacked me, one person reported me, and one person made a bigger deal, got together, made a bigger deal than they should have. I had so many bad experiences at bars, I swore never to go to one again. Bars and restaurants, those places, it is like paying to go to somebody else's house. Can't really make yourself at home. Thought I'd drink at home, but my friend was not okay with that. And I gotta admit, when I drank, I was all over the place. I tried to drink outdoors, hidden. They call it public drunkenness, but I prefer to think of it as drinking outdoors without the general public. Personally, I had some bad experiences. I always need to learn to manage myself. I like the booze because not only did it feel good, not only did everything feel good, I just wanted to let myself loose and run wild. Whatever happens, happens. That doesn't work, does it? When you go to a bar, mind your manners. I wonder if everybody needs their home. I wonder if I was meant to make it, you know? I think I was just so biologically and genetically defective that just a lost cause. One reason I went to one bar in general, I got quite a few things there. I had sex there. I met people there. And I don't know. What to do. find myself searching for something else to fill my life with. There's my art. One thing I've noticed is that America isn't a socialist country. We're not. It's every man for himself, so to speak. It really is. Art is important and vital, but it doesn't get you as far as you'd like it to. Comedy seems to get you far. Laugh, attitude, whatever. I want to do a lot more in life. I want to do a lot of things, like not just, you know, get by. I wish I made more friends. I wish I didn't take offense when people, you know, made offense. But sometimes there were the wrong people. Keep something in mind. Children aren't sweet and innocent. The thing about kids is that they will often victimize and brutalize each other. See, children, they have that more base instinct right into them. Anybody who seems different somehow, different in some way, whatever, you know, they're going to attack. They're going to laugh at. They're going to ridicule. Those base, primitive kind of urges are still there. First time I had sex, with nothing to write home about, I just said, thank God I did something. Did not feel right. It was all wrong. The second time I had sex, oh, that went better. Yeah, practice, but I was with somebody else. I had just gotten ejected from the bar. There was somebody who said that they recognized me and they invited me to come. And they asked me personally to go home with them. We had sex. It went right. I was appreciated. Before I was with somebody really grungy and skanky. They said they were clean. This person was clean. I was with somebody who didn't want to wear a condom. Okay, now look. I know every single guy. Now look, no guy wants to wear a condom. It's true. You know, the thing is, it does hold your erection back. And it doesn't feel as good. But thanks to social media, basically, you know the myths, okay? Like, you can't get pregnant the first time you had sex. Total lie. Don't get pregnant if you do it underwater. Not only will that baby may be born, it may be born with a lot of defects. Honestly, the second time was so much better, and I was grateful. It was something. And then we drove back to the bar. She literally pulled down my head saying, oh, shit, there's my boyfriend. He's going to see us. And I thought, oh, crap. After I had my ugly thing at that bar, I thought, you know what? Just like another fish in the sea, other bars in the world, I'll pick somewhere else. Go home with someone else. I don't know. I haven't been back to bars. They're not healthy. There's nothing healthy there. I know. That's not the point. But going to a place, basically, that's that bad for you, it's just... Here's the thing. I don't really know what to do. I want to get a bunch of people together, a bunch of people like myself, and say, what do we do, guys? What do we do? Name of God, what do we do? You have to tell me. I help people who are less fortunate than me. And when there was this one woman I went home with, that's what it was based on. I sort of picked her up at that bar, planning on going home with somebody else. I picked her up, and I escorted her back to her place, and we made out. And it was wonderful. I want it to last forever. But we didn't have sex because she said she was so messed up. She said I wasn't ready. She said I was even handsome. She had that moment where she looked in my eyes and said, oh, God, you're so beautiful. You're so handsome. She said she wasn't ready for sex. And I could tell, dude, she was messed up. You want to know something funny? That was years ago. She's really on in years now, and I actually thought about, I was so lonely and desperate enough, I actually thought about tracking her down. You believe it? I don't know, dude. Sometimes you just want there to be a match. I'm the kind of guy who always believed that sexual harassment is basically what happens when someone unattractive tries to get laid. You know? She's not interested. Just say so. But I felt like I was in positions where basically they want to kill you for asking. I don't know. I had a social life, but I always felt like maybe in a lot of ways it was the wrong one. Because my head was so warped and messed up. I don't know. I really wish. I still kind of wish that someday I could have gone back and done it differently. It's so much of the whole thing with my life, dude. It was just waiting for this to be over. When does it get good? When do I make it work? When? When? When do all of us do that? There gets to be a literal age where we're all basically literally just sitting around thinking, this is it. When do they become the golden years? I don't know. You know, I was going to go see some people I knew back at bars, but I'm thinking, why should I? Going to a bar every night drinking with we must do it for the company. Maybe I don't need to drink anymore. Maybe I need to go to those places anymore. To the kind of person that goes to a bar every night. You know, that's what you basically do when, I mean, a lot more people start doing that when things are going badly. You smoke and drink whatever, things are going really bad. I used to wonder what people smoke and drink, but I know they're trying to die. That's the secret. Manage your life. I think that was always, I think it's a problem that all of us had. Everyone at both those special needs schools. None of us could. I haven't drug addicted in a while. I haven't basically taken drugs. My biggest problem was that I couldn't rely on myself. I never could. I wonder if I'm meant to get along with people. The way my life has been, I really do. I think maybe a lot of it was the definition of that lost cause. But I guess we'll find out. That's what this is all about. That's what this thing is supposed to be. That's what this is all about. I was a strange kid. Now, when I was little, my grandmother had a cat. And that cat scratched me repeatedly. And then I developed a fear of cats. For some reason, I was so good with animals. They seemed to gravitate to me. I was always trying to get along with somebody else's dog. Dogs I didn't know. Which is not the way to go about life. But I guess I've learned. Now, here's the thing. A boy and his dog, there is no deeper bond. Boy and his dog. Now, that was the case with our dog. No one was closer to that dog than me. It was the ripe old age, but eventually he got cancer. Still have his ashes cremated. He was our dog. Now, here's the thing. When I had a cat, it could be a feisty thing or whatever, but you know what? He lived to be middle-aged. He was our cat. He was our everything. He was our cat. And our dog, well, he was a loyal, faithful dog, too. When they both passed, got a new dog and cat. How do I put this? They did not live up to the originals. Our cat, who basically we learned to appreciate in a lot of ways. So for a moment, we actually thought was great, a little better than the original cat. At one point, ran away for good. He came back at one point after he had been in a literal sort of dog fight, if you will. There was a huge gash. He was cut. He was injured. He came back in desperation. And then once he was healed, repaired, he ran off again. Couldn't keep him. Our other dog, he was destroying the house. Not only was he destroying the house, he literally was going around biting and attacking everybody else. Some dogs are not loyal, friendly people dogs. The dog turned against me. Out of the clear blue, one day he just lunged at me. Attacked me where I was most vulnerable. We eventually gave that dog to the animal shelter. Here's the punchline. That dog, we thought we were just going to give it to another family. They said, no, this dog attacked you. This dog has to be put down. At that point, I was ready to pretty much, even though my nose was torn open, I had a deep scar. I saw that scar to this day. My face ripped open. You know what? I said, please don't. Please don't. I said, we have to forgive the dog. We have to. They're going to kill him. My father gave the sage advice. No, he's gone. I went by there, and I didn't leave the animal shelter. I was asking if they were going to get the dog, too. They said they're putting it down. I raced over there, and I literally, truly, honestly, I kid you not, I saw him locked up in that cage. He looked up at me excitedly, like, yes, I'm going home. Not only was he not going home, he was never going home again. Why do we take dogs in? Why do we domesticate them, take them as part of the family? These beasts can be wild and will kill. What is it with us? And is it because they worship us? They love us? We need some degree of companionship. Humans will bite us too in different ways. I guess sometimes you just gotta take a risk. I don't know. I haven't really tried to go make friends with any strange dogs basically since. What do? I have my means. I chew gum. I play basketball. I ride my bike. And I try to take action. I'm not doing that as much as I should. It's a sad, sorry, sordid state of affairs. I know I need to focus more on adult things. Adult, toe on the line, take maturity, responsibility things. Because people are what they are. But the sad fact is, I'm still not sure I know how. My longtime best friend, someone I was closer to than anybody, he has somebody, older person take care of him. He's cared for. He's almost in a relationship where he's kept, protected. It's more of a relationship where he needs someone to take care of him. But at least he's out of his parents' home, and at least he's with somebody who can and will provide for him. He's kept. Every day I wonder what I can do. I guess I always thought you got older and things just fix. Now they get worse. You gotta, when you're a little kid, now you gotta make it happen. It's messed up. I look back at all the mistakes I made and I wonder what I was thinking, and I wonder why I couldn't control my own temper. And I wonder why I deserve to live. And I think maybe time is up. All I can say is I didn't give up yet, and I'm doing this now. I found myself in comedy. That's comedian by default, but I was a comedian in comedy. I found myself. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. I often wish somebody would still help me. But I don't know where to turn. Everybody needs help. We all need help. Why are we helping each other? I guess we'd rather not. Biggest problem with America. There's no unity. I guess, I don't know what to do. I guess I need to go out there and do something myself, don't I? I think in a way we need to stop expecting the government to fix things, take care of us, all that and whatever, and actually do something ourselves. But how does that go? People need to start being crusaders. People need to start taking action. Fighting. That's what I'm going to do. But first, decide what you want. Decide. But how do you do that? I suppose you have a good blueprint, battle plan, then get over there. Maybe it's not on Capitol Hill, some Congress, some whatever. And make a proposal. Make a big, big proposal, a big to-do presentation. That is absolutely necessary. Me? I don't know. Sometimes you never know. It took a while to find out my mother had autism. I wish I was more the assertive type in life. Because that's the first step, isn't it? Isn't it? But oh well. I think I know what to do now. Tell you what. The first step, know what you want. Step two, some kind of plan, some kind of battle plan. And three, going after it. The fourth step is helping getting some help. Sometimes I wish I had a clique with a circle of friends. I wish I just had people I just hung out with and whatever. I don't know. I didn't really hang out with people because they'd see me talking, they'd see me pacing, not able to sit damn still. It is such murder. 12 minutes to go. Oh, I'm sorry, 11. Okay, so what do I talk about? Well, best advice I can give you is to be the assertive, dominant person you want to be. If you want something, grab it. Grab with both hands. Don't let back. And know that your condition, you know, even if you're handicapped or something, it does not have to define you. You don't have to constantly always try to color inside those lines. You can condition it away if you want. It's a process. No cure. You're always climbing, always getting better, always climbing, 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 climbing. Spend your whole life climbing. When you retire, don't just stop. Don't just sit back and settle and wait for death. You know what? You got to keep climbing the moment you're pulled out of the womb. Me? It's all only just begun. All of it. In a way, I wish I could control myself. I wish I could manage my problems. I wish I could find a relationship. I wish I could. I used to, I don't know. Sometimes I came up with the theory that I think the memories will get married and have children so you can have a circle again like you did when you were kids. Sort of wish I had that, you know, just for the time being. But everybody's busy towing the line. Everybody's an acquaintance. I don't know what to do. I want to play it so differently, but I feel like it's all too late. I don't know. I don't know. The thing I do is find answers. Search for them.